Father, we praise you, worship you, and give you all the glory for that which you are doing in and among your people. For we know that you are preparing them for those days which are ahead of them and the glory of those days. So we thank you today in advance for that which you will do with us in the future, that place that you will bring us to in spirit. You will release us from all bondage this day in the mighty, glorious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let God's people be free in Jesus' name from every curse, from every bondage, from any and everything the enemy has brought against them. Let all negative thinking be removed from their minds and let them know truly who they are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So it shall be. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And today the title of my message is, and I don't want you to panic, conviction. Three people running for the back door? No. Conviction. Thank God for it. Thank God that he convicts us from time to time. So conviction is the process of being condemned by one's own conscience. So your conscience condemns you for the things that you're thinking, the things you're doing, the things that you're involved in. So conscience is a person's inner awareness. It's your inner awareness of conforming to the will of God or departing from it, resulting in either a sense of approval or condemnation. So if you feel condemned, then you need to get your conscience in order and start thinking the right way. Amen. Once you become a Christian, your conscience will be formed by the will of God as revealed in his word in your life. So you have to apply it. So those of us who hear and believe the word of God will be convicted by it, and our conscience will adhere to it, to God's word. And that is if, there's that big word again, if we allow our conscience to rule. If we don't just relegate it to the back room, forget about it, not listen to it, leave it alone and go our own way and do our own things, we're going to get in trouble. Let's go to John chapter 8 this morning. See how powerful the conscience is in its demonstration in our lives. And what you need to see from this story is if it can affect the Pharisees this way, it definitely affects us in the same way. John 8, verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in his midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So this is the Lord writing their names and their sins on the ground. Verse 7, so when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. This scripture has captured my attention forever. What did he write? You can guess about it or wonder about it, but what I have always believed is that he wrote their names and their sins on the ground for them to read, those who were wanting to condemn the woman. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So they were convicted by what? By their conscience. And that is because our conscience should be under the rule of God. Under the rule of God and his guiding light before us, that's the path that we walk in. And then we can find that our conscience will be clear and open to him. It's a precious thing when your conscience is submitted to God so that he can speak to you through it, convict you of sin, or apprise you when you're about to enter into the realm of sin, or tell you whatever is going on around you. So it's a good thing to be connected by your conscience to God. Everybody said, amen. And amen. Most of you know that. So the purpose of conviction is to influence our decision-making process. Did you hear what I said? Let me read to you from the dictionary. The agent of conviction is the Holy Spirit, and the means of conviction is the Word of God and man's inborn consciousness of a sense of right and wrong. So ultimately, it comes back to us to make the decision on the basis of what we know and on the basis of God's influence and certainly on the basis of the devil's influence. So the more you read your Bible, the more you know the Word of God, it will prepare you for that which is ahead of you, and it will apprise you of that which is coming, and it will also teach you how to resist and stay in a good place with the Lord rather than giving yourself up to an unruly mind which just traffics in all the devil's garbage. So we have to bring our mindset under the rule of the helper. Let's go to John 16. I know that we are intelligent people, or most of us are, from time to time, and we believe that we have a handle on things and the things of the world, but can I just say to you, you still need God's influence over everything you think and everything you do, because if you have His influence, you're going to make the right choices. You're going to do the right things. If you don't, you're going to do what you want to do. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus speaking, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And I want you to capture that concept of the Helper being the Holy Spirit who comes to you and lives in you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So if you have the Helper with you, He's going to convict you whenever sin shows up at your door, whenever unclean thoughts come. He's going to convict you. He's going to say, don't embrace those. Stay with God. Stay in His power, stay in His Word, and you'll be okay. How many of you know that God wants you to be okay? So He's provided every means for us to stay awake and do the right thing and think the right things and stay out of sin and to have a healthy, happy attitude, which is formed by a relationship with Him. And if you do that, you're going to be okay. If you don't do that, I can tell you the enemy is going to run you around every miserable gate that he can find for you. But if you stay with God, if you keep your conscience clean and before the Lord, you're going to be one with Him. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. He's going to be a part of who you are. He's going to empower you to fight the enemy. He's going to make sure you win and enjoy the journey. So let me ask you this question. Have you found it fun yet to fight the devil? I can convince you, hopefully, that eventually you will. And the reason that the fun enters into it is because you will always win. If you fight. If you resist. What does the Bible say? Brother James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist is an active word. Resist means you put up a struggle. You put up a fight. You put up a wall of faith in front of you. And you don't allow the devil to come in and influence the way you think. You do not allow him into your decision-making process. You do not allow him into your body to bring infirmity and sickness. You do not allow him any aspect of who you are. That's fighting the good fight. Don't believe his lies. He will lie to you. He is a liar. He lies, lies, lies. And if you believe his lies, I can tell you what's going to happen. He's going to hang around you. He looks for people to lie to, and if they embrace the lie, then he just stays around and continues to lie. So don't do it. That's my best advice to you is don't believe his lies. Let me tell you who you are. You've given your life to Christ. You're a Christian. You belong to him. He watches over you. He will watch over you. He will empower you. He will spend time with you. He will give you visions. He will show you the way. He will show you what's coming. He wants to hang out with you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, wants to be one with you. Embrace that concept rather than, oh, I can't ever do anything right, so God must not love me. God must not like me because I did that 20 years ago. Get over that stuff. Everybody has messed up. Everybody has sinned. And if you've repented of that and stopped that, it's way back there, and it is no longer an anchor to your soul. Be free. Remember the scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Be free. Walk with Him. Live with Him. So our part is to be so one with Him that we're always making the right decisions. In order to do so, we need the help of the Helper. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring your remembrance to all things that I have said to you. So you need a partnership with the Holy Spirit because He's for you. He will help you make the right decisions. He will help you overcome the enemy. He will help you be one with Christ Jesus. He wants to help you, and He will be with you. So the second part of this sermon is going to prepare you for Marcia's message and that which is to come, because we are entering into a new season. And this title is, It is Time to Awaken. Put the past behind. Get free from all hindrances. Set yourself in a position to move on with God in this season. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Awake. Awaken. Let's wake up now. We've been in somewhat of a slumber for a while, but it is now, aren't you glad, time. Ephesians 5, verse 13 says, all things that are exposed are made manifest by what? By the light. For whatever makes manifest, whatever we see, whatever comes into view, is there because of the light of Christ Jesus. Verse 14, therefore He says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And Christ will give you light. Wait, you heard that, but did you receive that? If in this new season we're moving forward, Christ wants to give each and every one of you His light so you can see the way, so you can understand what He's doing, so you will know what to do and when to do it. So receive His light. Christ will give you light. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Awake, you who sleep, and receive the light of Christ. Now, I know that there are a lot of Christians that don't believe that Jesus wants to show them anything. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. And nothing happens because that's what you believe. But if you believe in your heart, because of the Word of God, that He wants to lead you, He wants to guide you, He wants to deliver you, He wants to be with you, He wants to reveal to you the secret things. If you believe that, then He will. But our faith determines whether we receive from Him or not. If you believe that the devil's not going to allow you to see, or you're just unworthy, or just hopeless, get over that. Every child of God is worthy to receive the information that He has for you, each and every one of you. So it's time to do what? Wake up. Awaken. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's happening now. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. However, the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. If you believe that, it will happen. We become victims of the function of our faith or our unbelief individually. If I don't believe that God loves me, I'm not going to be able to receive His love. If I do believe that God loves me, in spite of the fact that I have messed up along the way, because everybody has, if you read the Bible, that's what you find out. Peter messed up. But did God throw him away? No, God said, I love you, I care for you, I belong to you, and you belong to me. So despite whatever it is that's happened that has convinced you that God doesn't love you, you've got to get over that. Put it in your past. Roll it up into a ball and throw it behind you. Everybody has done things that are not appropriate in the kingdom of God, but that doesn't mean that that has to control you or has to be a part of you, because you can get rid of it. You can move it behind you. You can kick it away and live in the love of Jesus Christ from this day forward. And if you do, then you can talk to him. And if you do, then you can hear him. And if you do, you can walk with him. You can be one with Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and that's what he wants for you. But my part is to believe that. And that's your part too. In spite of whatever we have done that has been a mess in our past. Even if you did something yesterday, today's a new day. Get over it. Get over it and live in his light. Let's go to Romans 13. Darkness will cover the earth. We just read that in Isaiah 60. Deep darkness of people, but the Lord will arise over you. If you believe that, then it's going to happen. Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's do that today. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast off your negative thinking. You cannot live in the love of Jesus Christ if you think that he doesn't care for you and he doesn't love you and he's not guiding you and he doesn't want to be with you. You got to get rid of those thoughts. I want to tell you who put them there. The devil put those thoughts there. But God loves you, God cares about you, and God wants you to embrace what he's doing in this season so that you can prosper, so that you can function in his will, so that you can be apprised of what he's going to do for you, so that you can have vision, so you can have dreams, so you can be one with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how it ought to be as a Christian. Amen. All you have to do is just change directions. If you've been going in the wrong direction, just turn about face and say, I'm not going to live in the doubt of that any longer. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil any longer. I'm going to wipe my slate clean today, and I'm going to start walking with Jesus, listening to him, talking to him, being one with him, and it shall be good for your soul. Amen and amen. That's the message of today. Marcia is going to reveal to you the future of the time season that we're entering into right now. But we have to awaken first. We have to get over the past failures, and we have to ready ourselves to move into what God has for us. Are you ready to do that? I think you should be. Okay, this is the word of the Lord. He said, it is time to move forward into the light of this season. Time to move forward, not stay in the back. Open your spiritual eyes and you will see. Before you lies the path that will take you into that which I am making available. Awaken and come with me. Adventure awaits.